selling airplanes today like they are aluminum siding.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. News from the big air show in England in a moment. But first, the U.S. House of Representatives may vote today on a temporary measure to keep the Highway Trust Fund solvent. Paying for roads and bridges is something President Obama is pushing all week, including in Virginia today. But Kate Davidson reports fixing infrastructure can be easier to get done on a local level.
Let's turn to someone who knows a lot about infrastructure.
Ray LaHood, former Secretary of Transportation.
He says states are the ones moving boldly to pay for fixes. He points to places like Wyoming, which hiked its gas tax last year.
The states are not waiting around for the federal government because the federal government isn't doing anything.
We see this at the ballot box.
Robert Puentes is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. He says in the last couple of years,
about 70% of the votes to increase investment on the state and local level pass.
Puentes says part of the issue in Congress is gridlock, and part of it is that the federal role here isn't as defined as it was, say, during the interstate highway era.
We had a program that was designed to build the interstates, to connect metropolitan areas, to get farmers out of the mud, you know, all these kinds of things. There was a clear understanding of the purpose of the program. There were clear economic connections.
Without that clarity, he says, it may be difficult to get sustained federal investment in the nation's infrastructure. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
Now on to the Farnborough Air Show in Britain, where the slick sales folks are hawking airplanes like there's no tomorrow. BBC business reporter Russell Padmore is following this. Good morning, Russell.
Morning to David.
It's an air show, but it's really a trade show. They're trying to sell some airplanes there.
This really is, I suppose, about the stage for the global battle for aircraft sales between Airbus of Europe and Boeing of the US. Now, today we've had Airbus's sales chief, John Lee. He's saying he expects at least 50 orders for the A330neo. And the revamped wide-body jet that Airbus is pushing really does deepen this contest with Boeing for up to $250 billion of orders. Well, Randy Tinseth is the vice president at Boeing, and he says their view of future sales is not the same as Airbus.
Frankly, the 787 did push that A350 out of the market, the 800, because it carries more passengers, it's more efficient, it flies further, faster, higher, and has a better passenger experience.
I love how you can hear the engines revving up in the background there. Now, the delegation from Russia to this air show, their presence seems rather muted this time around.
Yes, you just have to look at events in Ukraine to see there was a diplomatic problem for the British government. They answered that by effectively not issuing any visas to Russian government officials for this biennial air show. A bit of a snub. And we've had effectively government officials saying to their commercial aircraft counterparts at the show at Farnborough, look, maybe you should pack up and go home.
BBC business reporter Russell Padmore, thank you very much.
Thanks. Good being with you again.
All right, let's check the stock markets now. The 100-share index in London is down 0.25%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong rose 0.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed. Here's a chemical reaction worth $6.2 billion. There's word just now that the chemical company Albemarle of Louisiana is buying a rival, Rockwood of New Jersey. Bicycle sharing programs have a lower carbon, high-tech urban vision. GPS-enabled bikes dock to solar-powered stations. However, one of the biggest day-to-day expenses for these systems is a fossil fuel-powered low-tech operation. Workers driving vans, dragging the bikes to where they're needed. Marketplace's Dan Weissman took a ride with these bike sorters for Chicago's Divvy system.
All right, we're going to go where the action is.
Caleb Usri has been moving bikes around since Divvy started up. About a year ago.
It's really cool when you're doing it and everyone's like, thanks guys, we love it.
This is a weekday evening shift.
Now it's 5. You're here at a good time for doing rush hour Monday through Friday. This is basically the same every day. I don't think that this changes as long as the temperature's warm.
Our first stop, a docking station in the city's financial district to drop a load of bikes.
People who work in those office buildings around there, they'll come out, they'll empty them out, and they'll take them to the train stations. Guys in business suits and stuff, they put on their helmets and they get over there. You can set your watch to it, and like in front of the stock exchange, that thing will empty out 3 times. This is one of the fun parts, riding down the ramp.
Now Caleb's empty, so it's over to the train station, where bikes come in faster than he can grab them and wedge them into the van.
About 2 more in there, maybe 3. Yeah, this is a great gig if you have OCD, which I do. So we always keep telling the bosses, like, hire guys with obsessive compulsive disorder. It works out great.
Caleb estimates that he'll touch more than 200 bikes before his shift ends. Mostly, he'll haul them away from the train station to restock hotspots like the financial district.
But at some point around 8, when it slows down, we stop going to pick up at the trains. We just sort of let them fill up. And then the morning guys come in at 6 a.m., and they do the exact opposite of what you and I are doing right now. They take bikes from a loop back to the train, fill it up.
When Divi started, the bike haulers, Divi calls them rebalancers, conferred from the field by text message to make sure they weren't all heading to the same spots at once. Now, a dispatcher tracks them from headquarters via GPS and sends out instructions.
Okay, this is us. Caleb, Franklin, and Arcade. It's funny because even though we have more stations and more people are using it, the system we're using now is working better than what we were doing last year.
So, even with 3,000 bikes, the system has only about a half dozen vans in the field at a time.
With 6 or 7 in the city during the week, we can get by okay. So we don't have to worry about the day where we're sitting in traffic like this and it's all Divi vans, I guess is what I'm saying. That would be ultimately ironic, I imagine.
In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
And Hinge is a dating service app where you swipe quickly past photos and profiles of prospective romantic partners that builds in a bias toward matching people who are connected through friends. Well, using the app, Hinge has determined that among tech companies using this system, Amazon employees are the most immediately attractive narrowly defined as looks good in a glimpse. Apple employees came in slightly below average for attractiveness. On the other side of the shopping for partners equation, the system found that Amazon employees were the least picky when browsing for mates. Facebook workers were very picky indeed. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.